Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Malalai Joya was named one of Time Magazine's 100 most influential people of 2010. An extraordinary young woman raised in the refugee camps of Iran and Pakistan, Joya became a teacher in secret girls' schools, hiding her books under her burqa so the Taliban couldn't find them. She helped establish a free medical clinic and orphanage in her impoverished home province, ended a constitutional assembly in Kabul. In 2003, she stood up and denounced her country's powerful NATO-backed warlords. She was 25 years old. 2 years later, she became the youngest person elected to Afghanistan's new parliament. In 2007, she was suspended from parliament for her persistent criticism of the warlords and drug barons. Malalai Joya has a pair of events in our region today. She'll be speaking at 7 o'clock tonight at the First Unitarian Universalist Society of Albany on Washington Avenue in Albany, and at 1 o'clock at the Bush Memorial Auditorium at Russell Sage College in Troy, New York. It is a great pleasure to welcome Malalai Joya to the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, and good morning to all listeners.
Well, it's wonderful to have you with us. I also want to mention your book, which came out a few years ago, called Women Among Warlords, which was published by Scribner. Give us an idea of, since writing that book in 2010, how things have changed for you. Have they?
Unfortunately, not only situation changed for me, for millions of other Afghans, situation became more disaster, more bloody, as 2 days ago was the anniversary day of invasion and occupation of Afghanistan by right. U.S. and NATO, and supporters of United National Anti-War Coalition and Afghan Women Mission invited me here to bring the message of this suffered and oppressed nation of Afghanistan to justice-loving people of the U.S. and talk about the consequences of these sinister years, these bloody years, to great people of the U.S. as the consequences of this 12 years of occupation of U.S. and NATO was only more bloodshed, more women rights, human rights violations, looting of our resources and changing of our country into a mafia state. As today, more than 90% of opium produced from Afghanistan in the world. And I believe opium even more dangerous than Al-Qaeda in terrorism destroyed the life of these Afghans, as around 2 million Afghans now they are addicted. Most of them are women and children. And now another report that Afghanistan is the second most corrupt country in the world. And according to UNIFEM, Afghanistan is the worst place to be a woman. While catastrophic situation of women was very good excuse for U.S. and NATO to occupy Afghanistan, and this list can be prolonged what U.S. and NATO did there, as tens of thousands of innocent civilians, they have been killed in the name of so-called war on terror or fighting against Taliban by these occupation forces and terrorist groups. But now U.S. officials and these other Western governments in the name of NATO, they invite Taliban to join this puppet corrupt mafia regime, and they are saying Taliban or not, their enemies anymore. And they are right, because as at least 10 years I was saying on behalf of my people to great people around the world that Taliban, these warlords, all these terrorists, they are product of the White House, and they are only the enemies of Afghan people, not their foreign master.
So you keep saying this, and you're in a parliamentary position, and because you keep saying this, you are then kicked out.
Yes.
Is there anyone there now who is saying this, is saying what you were saying?
Yes.
On the inside.
Yes, of course, but I have been saying this 10 years after my speech in Lojirga 2003 and also in the Mafia Parliament that we had and still we have. Everything came true and people following my activism and the underground contact I have with them, and we discuss political issues there, especially about the occupation and brutalities of these fundamentalist warlords and Taliban there. So now people, they fed up as resistance of these ordinary Afghans, the student of the universities, these democratic-minded parties like Solidarity Party of Afghanistan. They organized demonstrations against blind bombardment of these occupiers, their massacres, and also against these fundamentalist warlords in Taliban and interfere of these neighbor countries like Iran, Pakistan, etc. Hundreds and thousands of people joined their demonstration. And my personal experience that people come more to me and like network, we are active there in Afghanistan. But it is more risky for us day by day. We face more challenges, more obstacles, because US and NATO there, they empower these terrorists as they supported them this 12 years of occupation, the warlords who are brother and creed of the Taliban, and now under the name of National Peace Reconciliation, trying to bring Taliban also in power. Gulbuddin Hekmati, or this fascist man in the past, his name was in the blacklist as a terrorist, as a wanted criminal. Now, without at least to say apologize, invite to join this puppet mafia regime. So they are there for their own strategic regional economic interest. I mean, US and NATO. And they are not there to bring peace, justice, democracy, because peace, values like democracy, women rights never come by sworn enemies of the peace and justice. And peace without justice and also independence of our country is meaningless, especially in a way that this 12 years we experienced the brutalities of these warlords with the mask of democracy who imposed on Afghan people and changed our country to the safe haven for terrorists.
How much of this of blame do you believe is on the hands of the United States?
How much?
I mean, when you look at the role that the United States played in this, how strong is that role?
Their role, as they occupied our country under the nice banners of women rights, human rights. But unfortunately, in fact, they pushed us from the frying pan into the fire by replacing barbaric regime of the Taliban with fundamentalist warlords who photocopy of the Taliban, they came in power. That's why situation is disaster. But about role of these troops, as these troops, I believe they are victim of the wrongdoing of their government that sent them for war, sending them for occupation and bombing our villages and even our wedding parties, and that countless massacres there, at least in my own province in Faro, there when these U.S. troops, they did bomb, 150 civilians have been killed, most of them women and children, even used white phosphorus, and they used even cluster bomb. In Kunduz province, there German troops, they did bomb 50 civilians there has been killed. This list can be prolonged, that most of them women and children. In Kandahar, a cruel soldier, right now he's here in the jail in U.S. He did massacre 16 civilians there, most of them children, innocent Afghan. And this list can be prolonged, that what they did, even Spiegel News broadcast once that they are making fun with the dead bodies of Afghan and urinating on corpses. And many examples like this, and this is what their government sent all these troops for, this war crimes. But we are happy that among these troops, some of them, their consciousness awake, like Matt Schrutz, that who like Joe Clinton, Mike Prisoner. This list can be prolonged. Hundreds and thousands of these troops, soldiers who they stand up and don't want to go to these countries and says we don't want to commit crime in the name of American people and don't want to be war criminals, as like Mattis, Snowden, Edward Snowden, or Chelsea Manning. Now you say that how they expose the war crime of their their government and enlightening the eyes, opening the eyes of just slaving people of the U.S. and around the world. And now they are living in the hearts of oppressed nation of these countries. For my people also, they are hero. We hope more people join this, and especially those troops who are there, they are the one who refuse to go and not let their people, I mean their government, to do these crimes in the name of American people.
So where are we right now? Because we've heard of from the president that we're pulling out troops from Afghanistan, and so we're in a period of transition. So do you look at that as a sign of a positive sign or trouble that once the government leaves, while there will still be a presence, but if the government leaves, then does that empower the warlords even more, in your opinion?
You know, this is what they are doing exactly there. As I said, that this 12 years, this brother creed of the Taliban, they were in power and they had support of the U.S. and NATO especially. And now they invite terrorist Taliban and Gulbuddin Hekmati are also to join this mafia puppet regime. And no question that when the troops leave, the situation will be, no, I mean that nobody says will be like heaven, because these enemies getting more powerful, our people will darker days they will expect, they will witness, unfortunately, especially women, for them situation will be more disaster. But US and NATO, that they says they will leave Afghanistan in 2014, it is another big lie, because from one hand they are talking about US permanent military bases, they are going to make legalize their 9 major military bases now, as they are working on this nowadays. From another hand, talking about withdrawal of their troops, because the U.S. government and these other Western governments who sending their taxpayer money goes to the pocket of these warlords, supported these warlords, and this longest war become a big question, like an open secret for great people around the world. They are under pressure of their own justice-loving people of these countries, just to deceive them again. Few thousands of the troops they will withdraw, but their puppet regime remained there, and also their military bases remained there, even indirectly, also easier for them to control Afghanistan. And in my point of view, in a country which has no independence, talking about democracy, women rights, human rights, peace, these values is just a painful joke. And we have there many countless democratic-minded people, high-educated professors, and inside Afghanistan, outside of Afghanistan, who are Democrat, who are freedom-loving people and believe in women rights, but no chance for them, as they are not puppet and nobody support them, and they have a strong support of our people. I believe they are alternative for the future. That's why I'm one of those who's risking their life there. This is about 7 assassination attempts they did against me, and moving from one place to another place. Last year they attacked my office in Farah province. 2 of my bodyguard brutally has been injured. But despite all of these risks, challenges, obstacles, we are there because we believe strongly only the nation can liberate themselves. Mm-hmm. No nation can donate liberation to another nation. But if we want the withdrawal of the troops, in the meantime, I'm asking from justice-loving people around the world, in U.S. and also in other countries, that we need the helping hand of these great nations. We need their educational support, as I believe education is a key against occupation toward emancipation.
It is obviously very important work that you're doing, and very important words that you are bringing with you. You will be speaking tonight at 7 o'clock at the First Unitarian Universalist Society of Albany on Washington Avenue in downtown Albany, and at 1 o'clock at the Bush Memorial Auditorium at Russell Sage College in Troy, New York. Malalai Joya, I thank you very much for being with us, and I wish you great luck and success in your work.
Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Again, Malalai's book is Women Among Warlords. It's published by Scribner. She will be in Albany and Troy today. Garrison Keeler and the Writer's Almanac are next.